Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dari. Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachariyam. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dari. Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachariya. Jamuna Tira Vanachariya. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Pariva Jakacharya Astotar Shata Sri Shrimadis Divine Grace Abhay Charnar Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jaya Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jaya Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jaya Premse Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adwaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jaya Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Chamakunda Radha Kunigir Govardhan Ki Jaya Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jaya Shri Gangamai Ki Jaya Shrimati Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki Jaya The Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya The Lordship Shri Shri Radha Sham Sundar Ki Jaya The Lordship Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jaya The Lordship Shri Shri Gaunitai Ki Jaya Iskandu Ramanrati Dham Ki Jaya Nitai Gaur Primanande All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 21, entitled Conversation Between Manu and Kardama, Texts 26 and 27. So 26 we will do simultaneously and 27 responsively. So 26 together. Sacheha Vipra Rajarshir Mahisha Satarupaya Ayasyati Didikshu Tvam Parasvo Dharmakovidaha. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The day after tomorrow, O Brahmana, that celebrated emperor who is expert in religious activities will come here with his queen, Satarupa, wishing to see you. 27. So now we'll do it responsively. Atmajam ashita pangim vayaha shila guna vitam mrigayantim patim dasyachi anurupayate prabho. Atmajam ashita pangin vaya shila kunanvitam mrigayantim patim dasyachi anurupayate prabho. Atmajam ashita pangin vaya shila gunan vityatam mrigayantim patim dasyachi anurupayate prabho. Please chant. Atmajam asita pangim Jaya Shila Gunan Vitam Megayantim Patim Dasyati Anurupayate Prabhu. Atma Jamasita Pangim Vaya Shila Gunan Vitam mrigayantim patim dasyati anarupayate prabho. Atma jamasita pangim vaya shila gunan vitam mrigayantim patim dasyati anurupayate prabhu. Mothers. Atma jam asita pangim vaya sila gunan vitam mrigyantim patim dasyati anarupayate prabhu. Atmajam, his own daughter. Asita, black. Apangim, eyes. Vayaha, grown up age. Shila, with character. Guna, with good qualities. Anvitam, endowed. Mrigayantim, searching for. Patim, a husband. Dasyati, he will give. Anurupaya, who are suitable. Te, unto you. Prabho, my dear sir. Sorry, I'm missing a page here. I spaced it together, sorry. So translation and purport. Translation. He has a grown-up daughter whose eyes are black. She's ready for marriage, and she has good character and all good qualities. She's also searching for a good husband. My dear sir, her parents will come to see you, who are exactly suitable for her, just to deliver their daughter as your wife. Purport. The selection of a good husband for a good girl was always entrusted to the parents. Here it is clearly stated that Manu and his wife were coming to see Kardama Muni to offer their daughter because the daughter was well qualified and the parents were searching out a similarly qualified man. This is the duty of parents. Girls are never thrown into the public street to search out their husband. For when girls are grown up and are searching after a boy, they forget to consider whether the boy they select is actually suitable for them. Out of the urge of sex desire, a girl may accept anyone, but if the husband is chosen by the parents, they can consider who is to be selected and who is not. According to the Vedic system, therefore, the girl is given over to a suitable boy by the parents. She is never allowed to select her own husband independently. Om Gyana Timrandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurame Tamina Tasmai Shri Guru Venamha Vandeham Shri Gurum Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Jagrasagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijnam Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Raghunatan Lalita Shri Vishakandi Tamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Stute Devi Pranamami Hare Priya Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shamati Shila Virbhav Praviti Namini Shri Shri Vrindata Vivira Padapad Pankaja Daine Prabhupada Nuvadaya Namah Shri Virbhavi Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namini Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharani Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschata Deshatarani. So, Kardama Muni has performed austerities for a long time, for 10,000 years. So, severe tapasya, severe austerities for a long time, 10,000 years. In those days, men used to live for 100,000 years. So, he spent 10% of his time to practice severe austerities to worship the Lord. And what was his desire? Something very meager, that he wants a wife. So it is stated that four categories of people approached the Lord: the distressed, the inquisitive, the seeker of material wealth, and the spiritual seeker, the Gyani or the Bhakta. So, based on this example, it appears that Kardam Muni was performing austerities, approaching the greatest personality, and what for? Something apparently material. So, if one approaches the wealthiest person, the greatest person, it is recommended that one should not ask for something meager. I remember when I was 17, I got my first job. And because I was a devotee at the time, I just joined the movement. This company that I was working for was the richest company in the making in the country at the time. So the owner made me the assistant general manager. So we had a close relationship. So one day I wound up my courage. He was favorably disposed. So I wound up my courage and asked him for a donation for the temple. So he asked me how much I want. I said $10,000. And he got on my case. He said, why are you doing something so foolish? He said, a big man like me, such a rich person, you're going to ask for something so small? That don't waste my time nor waste your time. If you have you gone this far, then ask for something substantial, like $100,000. So then I said, okay, then please give us $100,000. Immediately he said, no, I can't do that. I can't give you so much. I'll give you $10,000. He said, whenever someone approach you for a donation, you give them 10% of what they ask for. So the idea is that if one approaches the Lord, make it substantial. So on the other hand, what Kardam Muni is asking for, something appears to be very small, and then it appears to be something material. As you know, one should not approach the Lord for something material. As devotees, we shouldn't be approaching the Lord like that. I remember once, way back in the early days, my young god brother, he went to my Guru Maharaj and he said, Guru Maharaj, can I have those 4 batteries? So Guru Maharaj says, do you know that you're not supposed to ask the spiritual master for anything material? He said, yes, Guru Maharaj, but I only want those four batteries. He said, do you understand that you're not supposed to ask the Guru for something material? He said, yes, Gurudev, I understand, but I only want those 4 batteries. So anyway, finally, yeah, he just gave him. So anyway, the question here can be, and I'll open the floor for some suggestions, was Kardam Muni approaching the Lord for something material when he was asking for a wife? Can we get some suggestions and answers? Was it something material? Yes, Hansa.
Hare Krishna. I would. It seems to me like if one is seeing it from a materialist lens, they would say yes, he's approaching for something material, being a wife. But if Kardam Muni is a self-realized soul, and so he's approaching knowing that a partner in this material world will allow him to render better service, then he's not actually asking for something material.
Mm. Okay, so any other thoughts on this? Yes, what's your name?
Yeah. Hare Krishna. My name's Jai Nishringa Das. I guess my first thought is like pretty much in our philosophy, can't everything be dovetailed into Krishna consciousness?
That's a very good
Krishna
point.
Service?
Yes, so therefore, It is something spiritual, because why was he asking for a wife? Because he had a very important service to perform. His service is that he was charged with the duty of procreation. So for procreation, you need very qualified people. So as qualified as he was, he needed somebody equally qualified to assist him in that service. So yes, that's a very good point. So on the other hand, that for a devotee, he or she approaches the Lord for anything that's there, whether they have a material desire or not. You had something to say? Okay, so their approach is always towards the Lord. So that is the life of a devotee, because a devotee knows no one but the Lord, and the Lord also says that he knows no one but the devotee. So whatever that desire is, the devotee, he doesn't go anywhere else, but he approaches the Lord. Dhruva Maharaj, for example, he wanted a kingdom that's greater than his ancestors, greater than Lord Brahma. So he approached the Lord. Of course, when the Lord appeared in front of him and he saw the beauty of the Lord, he said, I was looking for broken pieces of glass, but now I found the most wonderful gem. So, yet, the Lord awarded him the opulences that he was seeking. So, the Lord awards a devotee his desire or her desire, but he does it in such a way that it will not affect the devotee in their devotional practice. So that's the difference. For the materialist, he also awards, but they get entangled and they move away. But with the devotee, he gives them in such a way so that they stay, what we say, they stay put, they stay at the lotus feet of the Lord. So that's another lesson to learn here, that Kardamuni, he could have done so many different things. He could have picked up his iPhone and go on the devotee matchmaking website to search for a wife, right? Or he could have gone and approached someone by himself. There's so many things that he could have done. But he prayed to the Lord. So this is another thing, that whatever the devotee's, you know, focus is, the Lord is his or her only solace. And that's a one-pointed attention. That's the one-pointed attention of a devotee, that whatever, he turns towards the Lord. And the Lord, on the other hand, personally takes care of the devotee. You know, like you have the president of the country or the king of the country. They have so many ministers, minister for finance, minister for education, minister for that, servants, assistants for so many different things. Even to dress them, they have servants and assistants, and even to put their shoes on, and so many different things. They have agents for everything. But their personal family, there are no agents for that. Be he who, whether the king or such an important person, but his wife and children and personal family members, there is no agent for that. He does that personally. There was one story with a king. He was such a powerful king, powerful fighter, that his sword was 8 feet long. So strong he was that whenever he's fighting with his enemies, that with one chop, one swipe of that sword, he would chop the soldier and the horse, everything right down the middle. So powerful he is. And he had so many ministers, so many assistants, so many servants. So one day, they were going in the countryside for some reason. He was on his horse, and all his ministers were there. Everyone was there, so many assistants. As we know, whenever the leader goes somewhere, there are so many people that goes with him, so many assistants. And then an entire entourage that goes. So as they were going, they were passing very close to a lake, a body of water. And the king's grandson fell in the water. And what happened with literally hundreds and thousands of people around, the king with all his royal suit jumped off his horse, dived into the water himself to save his grandson. He didn't wait for agents. Well, you know, okay, minister, you go and do that. No. His personal family, that's his personal responsibility. So here, Lord Vishnu personally is attending to his devotee Kardama Muni. He could have said, oh, you want a wife? I'll send someone. I'll make some arrangements. I'll send some minister. No, he personally made arrangements. And that's what is bringing us to today's verses. Sorry for that long introduction, but this is bringing us to today's verse that the Lord has personally made arrangement, as stated in verse 26 here, for Kardama Muni to be satisfied in his desire. So when he came, he was so affectionate to his devotee that treacherous tears, happy tears, were flowing from his eyes. And that's what created the Bindu Sarovar, the lake where they were. So that lake, Bindu, the teardrops, is what is known as Bindu Sarovar. And that lake was built or filled with the teardrops of Lord Vishnu due to the affection that he has for his devotee. So that's just a little history there. But the idea is that he's personally attending. He's not waiting for agents. He's personally attending to his devotee. He's personally attending to his close circles. And in so doing, he's giving darshan to his devotee also. So here he's telling, in coming to these couple of verses here today, he's telling Kardama Muni that in 2 days from now, day after tomorrow, that Manu and his wife, Satarupa, they would personally come to see you. That I've already made arrangements that they would come to offer their daughter to you as a suitable wife. So again, the Lord made personal arrangement for this to happen. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying, commenting on the Vedic standard, that choosing of a good husband for a wife is the duty of the parents, and that they should take that responsibility. In the Vedic times, this was always the case, and of course, on the flip side, the boy's parents would also be looking for a good girl for their son, so equally qualified. A typical example that came to mind is our dear Srila Prabhupada. If anyone remembers Srila Prabhupada's younger days, pastimes, when he became a teenager and thinking of getting married, he was choosing a certain girl. And his father said no. He said, marry this girl instead. He said, because you're attracted to that girl, you can potentially spoil your spiritual life. That's there in Prabhupada's Leela. That marry this girl, you're not so attached to her, and your spiritual life would be better, you'll perform your duty better, and everything else would go on nicely. Excuse me. So it's not uncommon even today. I know when I was growing up in Guyana in those days, those things were also happening, where arrangements were made by higher authorities. In India, it's still very prevalent. Some cases, no, but in like villages and places that are not so much materially developed, this culture is still there, where they would make arrangements and take that responsibility. So the Vedic culture is one of acceptance of authority, one of surrender to higher authorities, one of independence, which affects dependence. So it sounds a little contradictory, but when one shows their intelligence by accepting and being dependent on their authorities, they're actually exercising the highest level of independence, in that they're using their independence correctly as a living entity to be dependent on their spiritual and cultural authorities. And that's our practice in Krishna consciousness. Is that not so? That we're showing dependence on Guru, dependence on Krishna, dependence on the will of the devotees. We are allowing the devotees to engage us in Krishna's service. To use a graphic word, we can say that devotees allow themselves to be exploited by other devotees. And by using the word exploited, we do not mean the literal sense of it that just you harass somebody else, but no, that you engage them in Krishna's service. So that's the essence of our practice, of acting in such a way, we're chanting Hare Krishna, O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your devotional service. So that's what we're doing. And so to do that, we're doing with dependence on Guru and Krishna to make arrangements. So this dependence and surrender, not only in the case of marriage, as is described in this purport, but in all aspects of our life, this surrender must be there if we want to progress. This surrender, this dependence, this independence, we have to act independently of our senses and our urges and our tendencies. We have to act independently, we have to be independent of that so that we can rightly use our independence in the proper way. And that is to use your independence to be dependent on our spiritual authorities. Does that make sense? Sounds a little confusing. Make sense? So the best way to use our independence is to use it to be dependent. And we see throughout the Vedic history, these things are there. That the successful people are the ones who exercise this independence by showing their full dependence. A typical example that came to mind is Arjuna. In the middle of the battlefield in the Mahabharata, when Arjuna was away and his son Abhimanyu was killed by the seven great generals on the side of the Kuruvas, when they surrounded and jointly killed him single-handedly. When Arjuna heard, Arjuna made an oath that he said that before sunset tomorrow, I'll kill the one who was responsible for my son's death, and that was Jayadrat. He said, I would kill him. If not, I would enter fire and kill myself. We all know this history, or most of us. So he made that oath. So as the fight was going on the next day, that was public. Everyone knew, the entire army, both the Kuruvas and the Pandava side, knew that Arjuna made this oath. So what the Kuruvas did, they did their utmost best to protect Jayadrat, keep him away from Arjuna, so that at the end of the day, Arjuna would have to enter fire. Sent away by Krishna's arrangement towards the close of the day, just before close, he made arrangements whereby Jayadrat came forward when they thought the sun has set. Jayadrat came forward, and everyone came that, oh, now Arjuna has to enter fire. So then Krishna said, that's the sun, here is Jayadrat, now you can make good your oath. So immediately Arjuna shot an arrow and cut off the head of Jayadrat. And when he did that, I don't know how tall Jayadrat was. I heard some soldiers, they were like 8, 10 feet tall. Even let's say 10 or 12 feet tall. How long does it take for that head to fall from the shoulder of Jayadrat to the ground? How many seconds? Right. At that time, Krishna is telling Arjuna, hey, don't let that head fall on the ground. I have to tell you a story. There's a problem here. At that time, he's telling Arjuna, and within that split fraction of a second, Arjuna had to do something, follow Krishna's instruction. He didn't have time to think, hey, Krishna, now you're going to tell me what's going on. You know, what am I have to do? Let me think about it. Let me analyze it. No. Immediately, he followed Krishna's instruction. He took arrows and started, you know, keeping this head as the head was dropping to the ground, which is like fractions of a second. He was taking arrows and keeping that head off the ground whilst Krishna is telling him what's going on. So Arjuna was so fast that no one can see with the human eye when he's taking an arrow from his quiver, attach it to his bow, make an aim, and shoot his target. That's how quick Arjuna was. So then Krishna is telling him, and Krishna had all the time. The day before, when Arjuna made that oath, Krishna could have said, well, hey, you know what? There is something special about this Jayadrath. That anyone, it's a long story, but he got this boon that anyone who make his head touch the ground, fall to the ground, his own head would split into 1,000 pieces. So Krishna could have told Arjuna the day before, since when Arjuna made his oath, well, hey, you have to be prepared because this, this, and this. Krishna was there with him. Krishna knew that. Krishna didn't tell him anything. The war is going on all day long. Krishna didn't tell him anything. Before, when Jayadrath was there, the sun was there, Krishna had time to tell him. He didn't say that. When he chopped his head off, that's when Krishna is telling him that, hey, you have to figure out where Jayadrath's father, the one who gave him this boon that whoever caused his head to fall to the ground, their head would cut off. Now I'm instructing you. You figure out where Jayadrath's father is. He's outside the battlefield nearby performing tapasya. Now Arjuna had to use his mystic powers to find that within that split second and keep arrows going to direct that head all the way over. And by Krishna's instruction, he instructed Arjuna to drop the head on the lap of Jayadrath's father. So that when the head dropped on Jayadrath's father, his meditation broke, he jumped, the head fell down, and his own head cracked into 1,000 pieces. So with all of that, it takes surrender from Arjuna. Full surrender, no questions, no hesitation. Just like a child, you tell a little child, like my grandson is there playing around in the house. Last year, you know, I would tell him, go and bring me something, immediately go and bring. This year, he's like a year older. You can see a little bit of hesitation. He's growing up now. Sometimes, the other day I heard somebody tell him to do something, he said no. You know, so like that. But so a devotee has to be childlike, not childish. Childlike. That with no hesitation, they execute the will of the Lord. Even Yudhishthira Maharaj, he failed in that aspect when Krishna asked him to lie. Yudhishthira Maharaj hesitated because he was considering, oh, I'm the greatest moralist on the planet. I've never told a lie in my life. Now he hesitated to tell a lie. But the higher principle was that full surrender to Krishna, do what Krishna says. And for that, Yudhishthira Maharaj lost some of his status. His chariot used to ride 4 fingers off the ground. He was so pious and so pure. At that point, his chariot touched the ground because he hesitated to give that full surrender and execute Krishna's instruction. So this is one aspect of surrender, that fully surrender to our authorities. So in this example here, Prabhupada is commenting on the Vedic culture, that they are making arrangements, the parents are making arrangements for the daughter's good and qualified marriage. And whatever arrangement they made, the children accept it wholeheartedly, without hesitation. So that was their qualification. So here, Manu is saying the very first word in this verse of chapter 27, the text 27. He's telling Kardama Muni, Atmajam. This word is very, very significant here. He said, I'm giving you my daughter, not any ordinary daughter, my daughter. Like, to give an example of what, to get a better concept of what's taking place here, you know, we have the Mirdanga in the temple, right? The Mirdanga is there. But then we see a Mirdanga player come in, and he brought his own Mirdanga. For us, it's a Mirdanga. For that Mirdanga player, that's a Mirdanga. His is the Mirdanga. You understand the difference? That's the Mirdanga. That's, you know, that's my prized possession for my service. So Atma Jam is the same thing that Manu is saying here. He said, not any ordinary girl, not any ordinary daughter, is my daughter, my prized possession that I'm offering to you as a qualified wife so that you can perform your duty as the pastimes would go on. So, again, Kardama Muni, he could have done so many different things, but he's exercising his rightful possession, yes, the right correct word to use, as a devotee, that anything that comes his way, any desire, anything he wants, turn towards the Lord. That's the example he's setting for all of us. Whatever it is, we turn towards the Lord. Just like an example can be given that with a chaste wife, she always turns towards her husband for whatever she wants. If she wants a good conversation, a good laugh, happy time, she turns towards her husband. If she has that anger built up in her and she wants a good fight, where does she go? Who does she turn to? Her husband also. No other source. So that's it with us. Like one time in the early days, there was a letter that Mukunda Maharaj wrote. He wrote to Satrup Maharaj. And they were all grown up, their sannyasis, their gurus, but he wrote this letter. He said, do you remember when we are young bhaktas, we would go out on Sankirtan, and when we would argue, and when we can't resolve our problems, we would put our Sankirtan bags down and we would physically fight, and then we would get up and go again. He said, I'm remembering those days and keeping myself strong in Krishna consciousness. So then Satrup Maharaj commented on that. And he quoted what Srila Prabhupada says, that whenever you have a bunch of rusted barrels, you know, like drums, steel drums, they're rusted, and they're tumbling down a hill, so they're hitting into each other, bouncing it into each other. But what happened when it reaches the bottom? All those barrels, all the rust are knocked off, and they pretty much become clean. He said, devotees' association, in a gross sense, is like that. That whatever we do, whether negative or positive, or if there's anything conflicting, we stay in the association of devotees and do it with devotees. Of course, we should not conflict as much as possible, but being part of the material world, it's inevitable. Big, big devotees are conflicting. Vishwamitra Muni and Vasishta, great, great personalities, they had conflicts. Big, big devotees, anywhere, you know, conflicts would be there, it's just a product of the material world. But we stay together, resolve our conflict, purify ourselves, learn from it, and move on. So that's the essence of our life. That's the essence of our practice. And if we keep that, then our life can be successful. If we keep that focus, we keep this closed parameter, so to speak. If we do that, and all the while we tolerate, again, with this example of the father choosing, the parents choosing the suitable husband or wife for their child, it won't always be pleasant. Look at Srila Prabhupada's life. It wasn't very pleasant for him. But the success was there. So therefore, Lord Brahma, he prays in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, chapter 8, very popular verse, Tatenu kampam shishamikshamana bunjaya vatman kripa vivakam vidvavga purvira vidadam namaste jivete mukte pade sadayabak. He said that if a devotee tolerates the pangs and suffering of his misdeeds and all the while faithfully worship the Lord with full body, mind, and words, then the Lord's abode becomes his rightful claim. So yes, being in the material world, there would be problems, but when those problems come, as in this case here, sometimes if husband and wife get problems, sometimes we tend to think, well, it wasn't my choice to marry you, but, you know, it's my father who made the arrangement, therefore I blame my father. But no, a devotee don't think like that. That because higher authority has made this arrangement, then this is perfect arrangement. That's the way they think. That's the way devotee think. So many times, as it is stated, that the Lord has a plan for each one of us. But what that plan is, we do not know. But if we stay and stick with it, tolerate all the pangs, tolerate all the apparent miseries, and stay put. Srila Prabhupada says, all you have to do is leave, not leave. So because Srila Prabhupada had this thick accent, devotees weren't quite understanding what he was saying. Prabhupada says, just live here, L-I-V-E, live here. Don't leave here, don't L-E-A-V-E, leave here. He said, if you just live here, then your life would be successful. Like one time, one devotee was mentioning, Bhakti Purushottam Swami, he was saying that in our society nowadays, that things can be so difficult, that if a devotee goes through the sacrifice to stay in the temple throughout his life, he is bound to return back home, back to Godhead. He has that confidence. So, and I wanted my Guru Maharaj also mentioned in the temple where my wife grew up, Panihati, was so much austerities. To get to Mangal Arati, I have to go through like almost knee-high mud, walk 1 mile. So much mosquitoes, you have to literally walk and take prasadam. Mosquitoes and these beetles. And I remember my first service there when I first became a devotee, my first service, is to sweep the temple room, which is about maybe like this size. This was the size, similar. I sweep the temple room every hour, and I get 1 5-gallon bucket of these beetles. Every hour. Imagine. So then my Guru Maharaj commented. He said, anyone who stay in this situation and stay in Krishna consciousness, they're bound to return back home, back to Godhead. So anyway, these are some few points I have on this topic. Does anyone has any questions, comments? Corrections, chastisement. Radha Krishna Prabhu.
I just have a question. So, you know, you talk about if a higher authority gives you some responsibility and there's some problem, then of course we don't blame the higher authority and we see that it's Krishna arrangement. What if we make our own crazy decisions that are not so good we see down the road, and then, you know, we have to live with those results?
Yeah.
Does that mean we also accept it as Krishna's mercy and that we just accept that and chant Hare Krishna?
No, Srila Prabhupada answered the very same question. He said if we do make some crazy decision, we should understand that's our craziness. We shouldn't say, well, oh, that's Krishna's arrangement, blame Krishna for that. Something good, we understand, yes, this is Krishna's arrangement. But we shouldn't blame our nonsense on the Lord. So in other words, we should have a discrimination. It says discrimination is a mark of valor. We should know, and on the most part, we know when we're making some crazy decision of our own, disregarding authorities. Sometimes we're so crazy that we don't even know. But on the most part, we actually have some understanding. So, yes, Srila Prabhupada says like that, no, we shouldn't blame Krishna when we have done something nonsensical. Well, oh, this is Krishna's arrangement that I had to do this. When we get into protection and we see that, despite that, that we were still able to stay in the association and go forward in Krishna consciousness, that we should see at Krishna's arrangement, that despite I'm so fallen, the Lord is still making arrangements so that I can go forward. Okay. Yep. Pran Govinda Prabhu.
I appreciate your explanation on dependency on Krishna. And recently I was thinking about it while kind of a counseling to somebody. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate your view. We are complete. And Krishna is complete also. But Krishna is independently complete. Mm-hmm. We are dependently complete. Exactly. I forget that or we forget that. Mm-hmm. We are never independently complete. Never. Mm-hmm. We are dependently complete and Krishna is independently complete. If we can focus on that, 50% of our problem will disappear. Mm-hmm. Because we'll depend on the authority, mm-hmm. follow the authority, instead of independent idea of living, independent idea of. So this is very important point. Thank you.
But on the other hand, you know, let's be, you know, on let's say, you can say conflictingly, that Krishna gives all of us our independence. He even tell Arjuna. Yeah. So he give all of us our independence, that now you can act in whatever way.
Yeah.
So as minute living entities, we are completely independent because Krishna gives that. And whatever Krishna gives is complete. I'm just being the devil's advocate here. So what Krishna gives us independence, and that is complete. So I understand your point. I was just being a devil's advocate. Your point is that use that independence in the correct way. Krishna gives that independence, and it's up to us to use it in the correct way. So if we use our complete independence to be completely dependent on Krishna and Guru, yeah, then that's our completely independent position. There's a play of words, but I think it makes perfect sense. Here, Mutu Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
There are some situations where we have to take the decision. So you also told that crazy decisions. So what should we do during the situation? So we have to completely dependent on Krishna and we have to take some crazy decision. So how to overcome that?
Yeah. Again, by Krishna's arrangement, for a devotee, sometimes a devotee may have a fall down or may have a, you know, make what we say a crazy decision. But the Lord always makes arrangements whereby at some point they can recognize that that's a bad decision that was made. You know, unfortunately, the outsiders doesn't have so much opportunities, but the devotee can recollect himself. Just like a child learning to walk, he falls down, but he immediately understands that I should get up and try again. You know, and the strength would come, the assistance would come. So a devotee also sees like that, okay, I've made a bad decision here, but the facility is there, and Krishna gives him that intelligence that whereby he can rectify himself. He gives that intelligence, he gives that facility, he gives that so much he's surrounded by, that he gets that facility to correct himself.
So Krishna give protection before getting to the situation.
Say that again.
Krishna give protection before getting to the
can I I'm missing a word. Krishna gives
protection. For I don't want the situation like falling down, so I don't want the situation again falling and then learning. So
yeah.
So I need some kind of protection where.
Yes. Krishna provides all protection, and at the same time, he doesn't enforce to interfere with your independence. He gives all like here. Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya sent Srila Prabhupada to create this entire Sankirtan movement for us. Give temples, give facilities, all for our protection. But we have to independently make that choice. Do we want to accept it? Do we want to take that step forward to surrender? All the facilities are there, but we have to come forward. It's not always that the Lord would personally come. Like, there was a story told in the Mayapur in one of the floods at one point. This one man was saying that, oh, I'll be dependent on Krishna, that I'm dependent on Krishna. The flood is coming, his house is flooding, he's about to be drowned, and he's thinking, well, I'll depend on Krishna. That's what I want to do, I want to depend on Krishna. So the flood came. As the flood was coming, some devotees came and said, hey, your house is going to be destroyed. It's going to be dangerous. Come, let's go, move. He said, no, I'm dependent on Krishna. Water came up higher. They couldn't walk anymore. So a man came with a boat. The man came with a boat, said, hey, come, let me rescue you. He said, no, I'm dependent on Krishna. Then when his house got flooded so high, he went up on the roof. And when he went up on the roof, then devotees sent a helicopter. Come, let's go. And he's saying, no, that I'm depending on Krishna. And then when the water started coming up and about to drown him, he said, oh, Krishna, why don't you protect me? Then the Lord said, I have done everything. I have sent the devotees to bring you away. You refuse. I have sent the boat. I have sent the helicopter. You know, what else do you want me to do? So Krishna is sending so much facilities, this entire Sankirtan movement, all the books, so much association of devotees. Now even send the internet, which we can use in a good way. That you can, anytime from your phone, you can literally have every single thing, every single word that is said within our this Krishna consciousness movement, you can have it on that little tiny device. And you can listen to it, you can adopt it, you can practice it. So much facilities. It's up to us to take it. So, does that answer? Okay. So, anything else? Yes, Prabhu. What's your name? Gaura. Okay. Yeah, please give Gaura the microphone.
Prabhuji, first of all, really, really, you know, insightful class. Thank you so much.
Thank
for,
you.
You know, the class. One question I had, like you mentioned, we need surrender in order to progress in our spiritual life. Mm. And surrender is also real independence, is something you mentioned. But like, I have two questions. Like, one is, because we do have our, you know, conditioning, mind, intelligence, whatever, we fail to understand our authority's instructions, and then obviously mind and intelligence comes into play, and maybe they sound reasonable kind of, you know, reasons to not act upon. So how do we kind of, let's say, balance or try to find, like, you know, the good in their instructions, which will obviously, you know, progress us in our spiritual life. That's one. And then, you know, second one is like, how do we really, really fully surrender? Like, that's
okay, so the first part is that Srila Prabhupada once said and mentioned that that if we don't have the intelligence or the common sense to understand what is good or bad for us, then take advice from those who has intelligence. So the association of devotees is very important. That whatever If we stay in the association of devotees, success would be there. And despite how intelligent or smart you are, if you make that one mistake and say, I'm going to be independent of devotees, I'm going to stay away from the association of devotees, then everything, I can assure you, everything would go wrong. So the first thing is to stay in the association of devotees and take advice. That's why Srila Rupa Goswami states in his Nectar of Instruction that one should reveal one's mind confidential. That's one of the instructions that's there. So we should, within the association of devotees, within your circles, we should try to find people who we can reveal our minds confidentially to. And people who are like-minded, who are friendly, that you have that relationship. And then they can see things, because I'm sitting here. I'm seeing Pran Govinda Prabhu's face and his glasses and whatever. You're sitting there turning this way. You can't see that. So you're seeing me. You're seeing Srila Prabhupada sitting up here. And I'm seeing something else. Is there anything wrong with you or anything wrong with me? No. But because we were from different angles, we see things differently. So therefore, we should associate with each other, discuss with each other, and then we share the different angles. You know, we share different things that we're seeing. You tell me, oh, you're seeing the side of Srila Prabhupada. You can see the frills on his chatter, and the back of his neck, his garland is like sticking out a little bit. I'm saying, yes, I'm seeing from the front his garland is a little twisted. And he has just this little flower in his hand. So you're seeing from one side, I'm seeing from a different side, and we can put the two together and we get a complete package. So like that, with the association, we share and we keep an open mind. That must be there. We have to keep an open mind. You know, like in Guyana, we say that we don't put the cart in front of the horse. Let the horse go in front and the cart behind. In other words, we don't come to a conclusion and then we start investigating, then we start experimenting to find that conclusion. No, that's wrong. All you'd find is confusion, not conclusion. But if we keep an open mind, be open to what others have to say, listen, practice, and analyze. So it's saying that a devotee should be independently intelligent. Anyway, I forgot the exact phrase, but independently thoughtful. That whatever is there, we should be able to analyze. Even Srila Prabhupada said, he said, I'm not telling you to take this book wholesale and accept. He said, no, intelligently be thoughtful and analyze what we're saying. And if it sounds right, then you accept or get association. So that's the first part. What's the second part of your question again? How do you?
Fully surrender.
It's by starting the process somewhere. So as we start surrender, we start to practice, chant our rungs, follow principles, associate with devotees, allow devotees to engage us in service. Don't see it as an exploitation when devotees ask to do some service. See it as you're chanting Hare Krishna, I want to surrender. O Krishna, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. Then devotees come and engage you. That is Krishna's arrangement. And as we engage, then you know, we go further and further, because this process of bhakti is a practical process. So it's a gradual process. It's not like a fast also. Of course, it's there, because Srila Prabhupada said that if we chant Hare Krishna one time with full sincerity, we can be completely purified. We can be completely surrendered. Are we there? At least I am not. You know. To reach that stage is a work in progress. And as much sincerity as we have, how much we attend, how much energy we put into it, then that much is there. So I hope that answers. So we're Okay, so last question, we're way over time. Yeah, last. Yeah,
you told that the situation for flood, right? Why that situation is also coming? I don't want that kind of situation, get a helicopter or a boat, something. I don't want the situation, the flood to come first. So I need protection from Krishna. So always, I don't want the situation like flood get into the water, the example you told.
Yeah. So if I understood what you're saying, that you want that protection from Krishna, then one other problem we have is that we are expecting Krishna to protect us in the way we are thinking that he should protect us. And that's another problem. If we depend on Krishna's protection, we should be fully dependent how he wants to do things his way, Krishna's way. That would always prevail anyway. So we should work with that dependence that, okay, let me do as I was told and leave the results to the Lord. Action thy duty, result not thy concern. That's the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says like that. So we should work with that protection, work with that surrender that, yes, here, this is what we want to do. We want to surrender to Krishna. And however Krishna offers that protection, we should understand that Krishna is never a bad person. He always sees our best benefit, our best interest is his best interest. He always does what's best for us. And for you, it might be this way. For me, it might be a different way. You know, just like the father had, you know, parents have several children. One person, they may pet them in the arms. Another one, they have to talk to them. No, don't do this, do like that. Another one, they have to pick up the stick. So that doesn't mean that the father or the parent like one child and hate the other. No. But he's doing whatever it takes to give them the best protection as parents. So like that, it's not always going to come our way. You know, like some people have this philosophy, it's either my way or highway, which is a very bad philosophy. Yeah. We should see your way or highway. You know, let me do it your way. And that's the association of devotees. I want to do what pleases you. Let me do something to please that devotee. And that devotee wants to do something to please me. You know, and that reciprocation is there. Okay? So thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.